We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We got to consider that.
It's embarrassing, but we are who we are. We're not a very good team, but we're 3-1 somehow, and we got all the voters fooled, thinking we're pretty good.
Jaworski Lane at 275 pounds showed a heck of a lot of athletic ability.
All right, let's talk some college football, Jonathan. A hell of a week in college football last week. I was out with some friends celebrating a friend's sister's birthday, or a friend's sister's boyfriend's birthday, excuse me. But, it was one of those nights where I kind of had to go out of my way and make sure I'm locked in. I'm like, looking ahead to the places that we're going. I'm like, all right, they do have TVs. Check, check. We're going to be good. But Georgia takes care of Tennessee in the afternoon. You know, we had Notre Dame just stomping on Clemson. And then, of course, the treat at night, LSU outlasting Alabama. That was the game of the year.
It was. That was, and you didn't think that Tennessee Bama could be topped, but
right.
this one just epic. We always look forward to that LSU Bama game every first week of November, and the Crimson Tide come in. They're famous for being like really the only team that can routinely beat LSU in Death Valley, and LSU. Such a tale of two seasons for them, where they lose the first weekend to what has turned into a respectable Florida State team, but get steamrolled by Tennessee, at which point I left them for dead. Then they're like sneakily favored against Ole Miss, and everyone's like, oh, that's a rat line, something's off there, and they crush Ole Miss. They had beaten Florida previously, and it's like, okay, maybe there really is some juice here with this LSU program, and they went toe to toe with Alabama. They kept that offense in check and did enough for their part on offense with what they have, which isn't a ton. It is cool that Jason Taylor's kid scored those last two touchdowns for LSU. It was epic. I mean, a big game at Tiger Stadium, I think, is like the craziest environment you can really dream up. And it was great to see that game ultimately deliver when the odds suggested that it might not. And then the Georgia game, the way that the betting markets shaped up during the course of the week, it made me feel all that much better about Georgia. Like, I was legitimately concerned about that game. I thought the way that Tennessee's offense had been rolling, the defense looked a little bit better in recent weeks. It's like, okay, maybe this is just kind of their year, and they're kind of team of destiny. And Georgia has a couple of flaws on their team. They're not fatal flaws, but maybe this is the week where they can't keep up in a shootout, that type of deal. But 90% of the money comes in on Tennessee covering. It's like, no. Like, these books aren't still standing because they're paying out 90% of the bets placed with them. So, yeah, I was obviously very juiced by the dogs and what they did. And now it feels like they've kind of built a moat between them and the number 2, 3, and 4 teams in the country.
I feel that way too. It's really starting to feel like Georgia is just kind of usurped Alabama. And I think all the talk of like, is Alabama done? Is the dynasty over? Like, I don't think that's the case at all. I think just, the teams at the top have just closed that gap a little bit, and Alabama is still going to be there every single year. And they've lost two extremely close games. I think we tend to sway way too far in the other direction based on a close result. But yeah, it is shocking to see Alabama lose these type of games. That it feels like they win that game every single time over the last decade. But the talk of the demise, I think, to me is a little bit premature. But I mean, Georgia has that air where you just don't expect them to lose ever. It's happened so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, they just have, you know, kind of like Bama did, you know, these last few years, or you know, the last like 15 years, where it's just like they make a play in someone's backfield and you're like, oh my God, who is this monster? And like, yeah. Georgia has those guys now. Like, those guys are going to UGA now. Like, Jalen Carter is just such a beast. But you know, when it comes to Bama and the dynasty talk, I saw, you know, I think that it's understandable to see the hot take that, oh, is this over for Saban? That's become more common every time that they've lost over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But at the I saw one major outlet say something to the effect of, uh-oh, Saban's angry. Look out for him on the recruiting trail. to which I tweeted a picture. CBS, thankfully, like had this one locked and loaded, ready to go, where it had in one list the greatest recruiting classes of the recruiting, you know, online rankings era. Bama has two of the top five, one of which those guys are true sophomores. Yeah. So how much more anger does he need to make it better? Like, I don't
is he going to start like kidnapping recruits and just be like, you're coming with me? No, yeah, you're coming to Alabama.
Other guys just simply aren't allowed to commit elsewhere. Yep. Like that's really the only way. I mean, it's a preposterous take to insinuate that Bama's anything other than kind of like maxed out as far as their recruiting and their resources and their NIL and you know, the attractiveness of that program through the transfer portal. The transfer portal, if anything, they get all this praise for the rich get richer when Jermaine Burton goes there, when yep. Tyler Harrell goes there. It's obviously worked with Jahmyr Gibbs this year, worked with Jameson Williams last year, but it's not the end all be all. It's not something that automatically is going to take you over the top either. And, you know, everyone was, you know, just beside themselves, just like, oh, Saban's figured out the transfer portal now too. Look out. And that they've lost two games and they're not going to have Bryce Young next year. So,
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, I don't think it's over for Alabama. I think the bigger concern is like, when does Nick Saban hang it up? I mean, that's obviously when you go into panic mode and things could really turn if you're Alabama. But to me, it's just, you know, they're judged on a different level than everybody else. You know, it's like no other team loses a game on a last second field goal, and the next day the topic is, are they done? Are they cooked? Is the dynasty over? It's like they are allowed to lose games here and there. And they were very close to winning the national title last year. You know, you got your top two receivers end up being injured. I know you don't want to go into that. But you know, how quickly they forget. Like, it's not like Alabama is coming off of like a fifth straight year where they didn't make the college football playoff.
Yeah, this feels like a weird year. They didn't make it in 2020 because, you know, Tua got hurt, or 2019 because Tua got hurt. But, you know, generally you just kind of start your preseason projections by kind of penciling them into the playoff, and you kind of work from there. And it's like, okay, if Bama's in, then, you know, is there a team from the West that could do anything? You know, does the team that they play in the SEC championship, are they going to be able to survive the loss to Bama and still get in? Like, that it all still kind of revolves around Bama until you know, proven otherwise. So I don't think that this is over, but like you said, if there's another year or two in which Alabama underperforms, doesn't make it to Atlanta, I think that Saban hates losing so much that he would step away before he sees this program fall into some sort of mediocre rut, at which point, you know, then Alabama is tasked with doing the impossible and finding his replacement.
Yeah, exactly. So Georgia's in the driver's seat right now. We know that. They look like the best team. They are the best team. Which likely or potential playoff team scares you most? Like, if you're Georgia, who do you not want to see in round one, or who do you not want to see in the final?
I think it's still probably Ohio State. I know that they haven't played that well lately. Last weekend's game was a mess down there in Evanston. You know, Ryan Day's like, before the game, I'm watching game day, he's like, they pose a question to him, like, what are you going to do about the weather? And he's like, well, we're going to run our offense. It's like, well, that didn't go so hot. But, you know, when it comes to the playoff, that's not going to matter. It's going to be played in good neutral conditions. And I just think that Ohio State's A game is as good as basically anybody's. They've been able to do this with basically no Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Ebuka, Julian Fleming, Cade Stover. I thought that he was kind of one of the unsung heroes of that Penn State game. I didn't really think that Ohio State had much in the tight end room, but he looks like he's pretty legit as well. And the defense, you know, that was kind of what kept them left out of the playoff last year. The defense looks a lot better with Jim Knowles at the helm. So Ohio State definitely scares me. Michigan is very, very good, but they play a style that you know, we saw round one of how that happens against Georgia in the Orange Bowl last year. I think the result would be rather similar. And then Oregon's obviously played really well. I don't think the game would be a 49 to whatever blowout the way it was in week one, but you know, they are obviously playing at a much different level than they were to start the season. They've really gelled, and Bo Nix has put himself into the Heisman discussion. But like a TCU doesn't scare me. Tennessee, you know, maybe there's a path for them in if there's some more carnage up front and the Big Ten doesn't get two teams in and TCU loses. Maybe there's a way that they sneak their way in. But really, only Ohio State truly like would give me some serious concern.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer. And the odds certainly reflect that. Over at BetMGM, Georgia -105 to win it all. Ohio State sitting at +225. Then you get a bit more of a gap before you get into the Michigan, Tennessee, Oregon's of the world. But let's talk week 11 here. Which games are you keeping an eye on, and what are your favorite bets?
Yeah, so this week we're lacking a little bit as far, you know, last week was just so sick that it's hard to like have that repeat. But obviously, I think that the TCU Texas game kind of has the most importance to it. I feel like TCU can cover that. They're a touchdown underdog against the Horns. But, you know, Sonny Dykes has famously had teams that struggle late in the season. It wasn't pretty necessarily for TCU last week. And if Quentin Johnson is out, they're going to kind of have to restructure the offense because they had become so insanely reliant on Johnson in recent weeks, basically since the start of October. Like, he'd been seeing like 15 targets a game, gets that ankle sprain. We'll see what's up with him. But as it stands, I still like TCU to hang on or hang in there. Ole Miss, Bama, interesting as well. You know, Bama, despite the loss, still big favorites against Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss holds their own in that one. I think they can limit a little bit of what the Alabama passing game can do. Not a shot at Bryce Young, but more so of a shot at the pass catchers for Alabama. They're just really not getting it done the way that a lot of people expected. So I think that Ole Miss, if they get the ground game established with Judkins and Evans and Jackson Dart's running around a little bit, I think they keep this one closer than the 12-point spread. That's basically it as far as the marquee matchups for this weekend, in my opinion. But some other bets that I like the over in Pitt versus Virginia, especially if Pitt gets Izzy Abanaconda back in the fold, back in the backfield. He's been an electric runner. Pretty good. Virginia, their offense stinks relative to recent years. A tragedy for the college fantasy football guys out there. But I think that this number is just a little bit too low. I think that Maryland can cover 12 points against Penn State last week. They just don't beat teams like Wisconsin. They're too physical for a Mike Locksley team. But I think that Penn State, you know, this is a de facto rivalry game for Maryland. I think that they get up for it and they lose by 10 instead of 12. I like A&M over Auburn, especially if A&M gets Connor Wegman back at quarterback. And I like Troy -9 Ooh. Over Navy or Army. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Easy to confuse those two. We'll go out on this. I don't care about your take on Wisconsin -1.5 at Iowa. I do care dearly about your take on the total 35 for this game.
Give me the under. I want to see 13-10 Wisconsin.
You're a coward if you don't bet the under.
Yes. Facts.